Hey team, this is Captain Emily Seaton from 20th Air Force Public Affairs. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 2420, the podcast that shares 20th Air Force information in about 20-ish minutes. This is part three of the Missile Community Cancer Study series. As a recap of the two previous episodes, part one was with Colonel Tori Woodard, the commander of U.S. Air Force School of Aerospace Medicine, sharing details about the extensive study his team is conducting on behalf of Air Force Global Strike Command to address cancer concerns raised by missile community members. Part two was with Colonel Deborah Davidson and Lieutenant Colonel Josh Berg from the 90th Medical Group at F.E. Warren Air Force Base. They answered questions about how individuals can approach their doctors about their health concerns and gave information about non-Hodgkin lymphoma. For part three, we invited Lieutenant Colonel Danny Seebeck, a Vice Commander for Delta 8, to share his story. We also invited individuals who could add additional details about medical care and coverage and give the veteran's perspective. As you can imagine, there was a lot of great information shared, so we ended up splitting the discussion into a Part A and Part B to keep each to 20 minutes. In Part A, you will hear Colonel Seebeck's story with a bit of additional medical perspective shared by Lieutenant Colonel Josh Berg, the 90th Medical Group Chief of Medical Staff, and Ms. Annette Lupo, the Benefits Advisor from the 90th Medical Group's TRICARE Operations and Patient Administration Office. Part B focuses more on medical coverage for current military members and veterans. There are a couple of references to non-federal entities. These references do not constitute or imply Department of Defense or Air Force endorsement of any company or organization. We would also like to say this is the narrative of one missile community member with lymphoma 1 year into his treatment. His narrative is his own and does not represent the experiences of others diagnosed with cancer. We are sensitive to the fact that many have lost their friends or family members, and there are those currently fighting through treatment. With that in mind, we'll go ahead and start Part A.
Hello, team. I'm Major General Mike Lutton, Commander 20th Air Force. This is Part 3 of the Missile Community Cancer Study series. While the study is ongoing to identify if there are any potential service-related risks to airmen, guardians, or their dependents' health, we recognize that the possibility of a connection raises a lot of concerns for our current and former members and their families. So for this episode, we have Lieutenant Colonel Danny Seebeck with us to share his story and firsthand experience of being diagnosed with cancer and fighting cancer. It is a very personal choice to share your journey with us, Danny, so we really appreciate that. The information you share may help others to take a step to seek more information for their health. Danny, Josh, and Annette, appreciate you making the time. Thank you for being here. So Danny, I think if it's okay, we'd start out with you and really you kind of discussing your initial journey as a service member and your experiences with TRICARE and with the medical community in assisting you when you were diagnosed with cancer.
Major General Lutton, thank you and Air Force Global Strike Command, Commander General Bussier, for taking this issue seriously and for giving me the opportunity to share my story. I truly appreciate the energy and the focus this team has put into such a serious topic. My name is Danny Seebeck, and I'm currently one of the two vice commanders of Delta 8 United States Space Force. In total, I've served on active duty for 21 years, 18 of those years in the Air Force. I transferred to the Space Force in 2020 while I was commanding the 319th Combat Training Squadron. During my career, I've been assigned to Vandenberg, Schriever, Maxwell, Peterson, and Ramstein, and also served as a missileer at Malmstrom Air Force Base from 2003 to 2007. Health-wise, I've never scored other than excellent in 20 years of fitness tests, not to gloat, just to kind of set a baseline there. And I've got no genetic or other risk factors for non-Hodgkin lymphoma other than being a white male. I've got no known infections. I don't smoke or vape. I don't eat PCB-laden fish. I'm not obese. And overall, I consider myself to be a very healthy person despite my diagnosis. Now I'm going to run through just a little bit of how I was diagnosed, how I discovered my cancer, and how I worked through my PCM and other doctors to kind of work through my cancer and my treatment. Some of this is kind of detailed, but I think it'll help people understand, as you described, sir, how to work with your PCM and TRICARE to get through a situation like this. On 5 August 2022, I noticed a lump on my neck while I was shaving. And this wasn't just a normal lump. It was fairly large and grew. It was painless and continued to grow over the next 30 days to a fairly large size, almost the size of a ping pong ball. I had no fatigue or other lymphoma symptoms. My good health Really gave me no reason to worry, but I figured I should contact my PCM and have it checked out. Another reason I went and had it checked out is I had a very close friend and coworker who was managing similar symptoms and going through a similar diagnosis at the same time. On 19 August 2022, I met with my PCM, my primary care manager, who recommended blood work and x-rays. Those are the very first two steps, and we did those within the next couple of days. My blood work came back completely normal, and I think that's important for people to know that my blood work was not different at all. X-rays confirmed that I had a mass in my neck, which really didn't surprise anybody. On August 29th of 2022, I had some CT imaging. And then on 7 September, I had a fine needle aspiration. That's where they put a needle into the actual mass to see what kind of cells are there. And this showed that there were abnormal cells. So this was the first sign that, okay, there's actually something, there is something to worry about here. That fine needle aspiration led to a lymph node mass biopsy. So that's the no kidding. I went to the U.S. Air Force Academy and they did a quick surgery and biopsy and they cut out that lymph node. And I'd like to thank those doctors that did it. They did a great job. On 23 September is when I actually received a non-Hodgkin lymphoma diagnosis, followed by a more specific mantle cell lymphoma diagnosis on 30 September. Mantle cell is one of the many subtypes of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, but it's very rare and very difficult to treat. Additional testing, including a PET scan, bone marrow biopsy, endoscopy, colonoscopy, revealed that the lymphoma was limited to my neck region. So after a couple weeks of testing, that was really the first good news I got, was that this was limited to my neck region and that they had found it fairly early. In October 2022, I was assigned an Air Force Wounded Warrior Program mentor who served with me and also had a non-Hodgkin lymphoma diagnosis and was a cancer survivor. Overall, that's the general flow of events in about 2 minutes or less during my first 3 months of diagnosis that led up to my treatment. Next, my medical team advised me that mantle cell lymphoma can be resistant to initial treatment, and understanding staging and risk factors was really vital to developing an appropriate way forward. For mantle cell lymphoma, it's imperative to receive the appropriate first treatment. You really can't do this wrong. If you get the wrong treatment first, it can really mess up the whole scheme of treatment moving forward. So you need the right doctors with the right experience who understand this very rare illness and how to treat it. So I had to wait about 75 days after my diagnosis to begin my treatment. This was really tough to do because my friend and coworker that was diagnosed was already receiving treatment. And me being as impatient as I am, I wanted to be in treatment too with him, just knocking this out. But what I had to understand was that we had different types of non-Hodgkin lymphoma and there were different types of treatment.
Danny, if you don't mind me asking a question, what is that 75 days related to? Is that trying to match you up with the right specialist? Is that navigating the healthcare system? What really encapsulates in that 75 days so the audience understands that part of the journey?
Yes, sir. So, of course, I'm impatient. I want to move as fast as we need to move to get this done. So I sent multiple emails using my Genesis to my PCM who, and these were polite, emails, but they basically said, we need to move faster. How do we move faster? I want to get this done. Let's get moving. And she politely answered back and said, we're moving at the speed of the appropriate diagnosis. We're moving at the speed of getting the appropriate care. And we need to get you to see these specialists. So what my PCM, who knows a lot more about healthcare, obviously, than I do, used some of this time to explain to me, we need to get you to the right people. The PCM did a great job of telling me, slow down. We're not going to fix this in the next 24 hours. We need time. The time ended up being 75 days. This time was to figure out what were my specific risk factors with my specific type of cancer. Because again, diffuse large B cell, T cell, mantle cell lymphoma, they're all different. So I had to figure out what were my specific mantle cell risk factors. And then this was also me working with TRICARE to figure out who are the doctors that are going to take care of me. And during this time, I saw three different civilian doctors before we figured out who was the right person that had the right type of experience to start taking care of me. During this time, I also worked with the Air Force Wounded Warrior Program, and the utilization manager was connecting me with the right doctors. And this is where I started getting connected with the doctors at University of Colorado Health in Denver. And this is where I also got referred by that doctor to the MD Anderson doctor in Houston. So during that 75 days, I was flying back and forth to Houston and driving back and forth to Denver, and I was meeting with these doctors And they were comparing notes and figuring out exactly what my treatment plan was going to be. I had two case managers who did an amazing job of connecting me, helping me understand what these referrals actually meant, helping me push them through, and then also connecting me with the TOPA folk to figure out how to get on a plane and how to get myself to Houston to go see these doctors.
Danny, just for my clarification, so it's 75 days, but that's really to get you to the precision that you need to be at to get on your journey back to healthy, correct? Okay, I just wanted to underscore that because of the nature of your diagnosis and the precision that was going to be required to support you. There's activity going on in that 75 days.
Tons of activity, and I don't think it could have been done faster than 75 days. I think 75 days for my specific diagnosis and my risk factors is what it took for TRICARE, my PCM, my civilian doctors to get together and figure out exactly what my specific treatment plan would be. And that's how long it takes. For someone else, it might be 80 days, it might be 2 days. Mine was exactly 75 days, and it worked out. So waiting that time was absolutely tough, but that time ensured that my doctors, my wife Sarah, and I completely understood the specific characteristics of my illness and how to best attack it. This additional time forced me to kind of confront the new brutal reality that I was facing, to really observe the situation, and then to determine what I was going to do to take action and move forward. I kind of took a few days at that point to really let it soak in and kind of be sad a little bit, worry a little bit, be a little anxious. And then I quit doing that and decided to move forward.
And I'll turn it over to Colonel Berg. Colonel Berg, you had a point you wanted to amplify.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to highlight some of the things that are kind of going around in the background during these. But we have what's called the medical management team. So as medical chief of staff, I sit on it as chair. And in that, we have TOPA representatives, we have the wounded warrior, we have case manager, we have utilization manager. And when we get an unfortunate diagnosis like this, we're meeting at least once a week. We do a patient tracking meeting. And we're reviewing all these cases. And one of the things we do is there are certain diagnoses that are automatic enrollees into the Wounded Warrior program. Cancer is one of those, some of the mental health diagnoses. But that's one of the common ways that we'll get people in with Mr. Dixon, who's in this meeting with us, our Wounded Warrior representative. And it's a way that we can really kind of coordinate that care. And then at the same thing is when we evaluate these cases, we have the ability to place an active duty member in serious illness status or very serious illness status, which is another way that these members will automatically get enrolled into the Wounded Warrior program. So we are actively looking for these type of diagnoses that would meet that criteria.
Having been a prior commander of the 319th Combat Training Squadron, I had actually put people into this program. So when you become a commander, the Air Force Wounded Warrior folks come around and talk to you and kind of give you their business card and their pamphlets and tell you the different capabilities that they have and what they have to offer you and your airmen and guardians. So I knew about the program, and I had actually put people as a commander into that program in the past. And then my boss, Colonel Pheasant from Delta 8, had actually put people recently into the program as well. So when my cancer diagnosis came up, he knew exactly what to do. He contacted Mr. Rod Schwald from the Air Force Wounded Warrior Program, who has an office on Peterson Space Force Base. And he called him and said, "Hey, I think I have a candidate to enter into your program." And they said, "Yep, Danny Seebeck is absolutely the kind of person that we could enter into this program. And we have a lot of things that we can offer him." So I immediately went with my wife, Sarah, and met with Mr. Schwald. And they explained to me the things that they had to offer. And I can say, honestly, 90% of the things weren't things that I could utilize, but the other 10% of the things that he had to offer were things that I use every day to get my care. They check on you. They make sure they have what you need. They give you a utilization manager who understands the TRICARE health program better than anyone I've ever met. And they know where those referrals are. They know where they could possibly get jammed up. They know where your medicine is, and they can really help you figure out how to navigate between your PCM and TRICARE and your civilian doctors to make sure you're getting the care you need. I think everyone should absolutely talk to the Air Force Wounded Warrior Program to figure out how to navigate their treatment if they have a situation like mine.
Danny, thanks so much for that. And I'll just ask Annette your experience with the Wounded Warrior Care Program, and if you could talk about that and their presence here, at least at F.E. Warren Air Force Base, or how airmen across Global Strike Command connect with the Wounded Warrior Care Program?
A lot of times it is the commander or the first sergeant. Our case manager also notifies the wounded warrior. Absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. They advocate for the patients. It is, I can't say enough about them. We've had multiple patients that were under the Wounded Warrior program, and they're wonderful.
Danny, we pivot back to you and pick up with your journey where we are today. And what I'd ask is maybe a snapshot, if you're willing to share, of where you're at today.
Yes, sir. So 13 December is when some treatment started, and it didn't look the way I thought it would. This was just no kidding. I took a half day off of work to receive a FedEx package, and some medicine showed up in the mail, and I started taking the medicine. The lump went away immediately. I mean, within days of taking some of these immunotherapy medicines. That was the first part. I had 8 months of taking those immunotherapy medicines, which are pills, and then also receiving infusions, which is they put an IV in your hand and you actually receive an infusion of an immunotherapy drug. That went on for 8 months and put me into complete remission, which means that there's no detectable cancer in my body. From there, with mantle cell lymphoma, you can only receive chemotherapy one time, and then your body doesn't respond to the chemotherapy anymore. So I received that chemotherapy over the last month and a half. This is the first time I've actually missed any work for this, was to go get that chemotherapy. All chemos are different. And I can say that me talking to friends about chemo didn't really help me understand what I was going to get myself into. It was pretty tough, and I'm recovering from it right now, but I expect to be back to work within the next couple weeks here. The chemotherapy was kind of the just cover all, let's make sure that we can kill all of the cancer that we can't see and get me into the best spot for complete remission. So snapshot right now, about a year into this, is I'm in complete remission and I'm in what they call the maintenance period. So I'll start taking some of those immunotherapy drugs again, kind of at a half dosage of what I was taking them before. And that'll be for the next 2 years, sir. So this ought to be my back to normal. You know, we started here a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, and I should be back to normal kind of on a maintenance dosage for the next couple of years. And hopefully stay in remission for as long as possible is the goal right now.
What can you talk to as far as the support that you're receiving? And then as you reflect back and you're able to mentor folks that are on the same journey as you, what lessons or what mentorship do you provide to them from your experiences?
Yes, sir. So, General, the most important support and resources I had for me were, of course, my family, my wife of 18 years, Sarah Seebeck. So you don't really know how you're going to have to rely on folks when you get into a situation like this. But my wife, Sarah, no kidding, drove me to appointments in Houston, in Denver. She traveled with me on many of these. She helped me understand the different phases of treatment. When you have all these different doctors that are specialists in different types of oncology, I'd take notes, she would take notes, and we'd compare afterwards. So she was a huge part of this and still is every day. She also supports other members that are going through similar situations right now. Additionally, my Delta. So this is a Delta 8, Colonel Pheasant, my other vice commanders, and also the Delta itself have supported me throughout the process. They understand what's going on. They understand that one of their lieutenant colonels is in the office, and then he's out of the office for a couple of days. They understand I'm driving back and forth to Denver to go to treatment. So they've been absolutely supportive and helpful throughout the process. But outside of my family and the Delta, again, we've talked about the Air Force Wounded Warrior Program and the recovery care coordinator. They were my primary resource to get through, you know, a challenge like lymphoma. The mentor that they assigned to me, and I didn't know that they had mentors, but one of the people I've actually put into the Wounded Warrior Program is a mentor now. They didn't assign me her, but they did assign me someone that I knew and that I had worked with before, and that is also a non-Hodgkin lymphoma survivor, and that was actually assigned with me at my very first assignment. So this is someone that I was comfortable with, that I knew, and the fact that this mentor had been through all of this before was just really comforting in a way. It's just really helpful that he had been through this, he had survived it, and he could tell me how I was going to get through it as well. So that mentor was huge. I definitely want to say that my support team included about 20 other folks that were diagnosed with NHL. Some of these folks were civilians, and quite a few of them were other military folks that I've served with in the past. Those civilians I definitely want to thank because they helped connect me with the best medical care I could get. And I definitely want to say that through TRICARE, there were no corners cut. I have the best medical doctors supporting me at UC Health Denver and then also MD Anderson. There are no better mantle cell lymphoma doctors to give me that support. But this missile community team has absolutely supported me as well in understanding what they've gone through. And I definitely want to continue to use my experience with non-Hodgkin lymphoma to help support others and help them seek appropriate care. So I'm open to receiving phone calls and people walking into my office and emails, and I do what I can to help support them and just tell them what I know. Basically, the conversation we've had here today, let them know what my own experience is, and then just let them know, just as my own Wounded Warrior mentor let me know, that you have to face these, the brutal facts in front of you. You need to be anxious and kind of sad for a day or two or however long you give yourself. And then you need to figure out what you're going to do to move forward and start getting treatment. And then hopefully get through it and start helping other folks.
Yeah, really thank you for that, Danny. And thank you for sharing that with the folks that are going to listen to this. So thank you so much for your time. And you all have a great, wonderful day. Thanks.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of 2420. As Major General Lutton mentioned, the Missile Community Cancer Study is ongoing, and updates can be found on the website at www.airforcemedicine.af.mil/resources/missile-community-cancer-study, or just simply Google Missile Community Cancer Study. Our hope is that the information shared in this series will help others seek more information for their health and better understand the processes and systems for themselves, their airmen or guardians, or their loved ones. Thank you for listening. See you next time.